Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Tomorrow, don't miss your chance to win $1,000 of Big Poppy's money during the Cardinals-Braves game on Fox. Download the free-to-play Fox Bet Super 6 app and answer 6 questions about innings 7, 8, and 9 for your shot to win.
Sam Amick of The Athletic co-wrote the article, broke the story that didn't make Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavericks, very happy, and he is now joining us live. All right, the story's about Luka Doncic and his frustration at times with Rick Carlisle. So let's go in tiers here. Let's start with Donnie Nelson gets let go very early. Your story had a multitude of sources, and my first takeaway when I saw Donnie Nelson leaving the organization was Mark confronted him and probably said, you may have been some of these leaks. I mean, why did Donnie Nelson? Was it the Dennis Smith draft pick, the Porzingis contract, the story in The Athletic? Why is Donnie Nelson, in your opinion, gone today?
I think, Colin, as you know, because you know our industry really well, obviously we're never going to get into sourcing. But I will say, and I haven't really said this on a platform like yours, and the suspicions that have been widespread about Donnie being the root of it are completely off base and really honestly kind of naive in regards to how widespread some of this information and these insights and these opinions were internally within the Mavs and then around the NBA. The general idea that Mark had empowered Bob Vulgaris to the degree that he had, and that from Donnie on down within their front office power structure, there was this, you know, again, widespread frustration and question of who's running the team. And we've now seen more and more come out. Just yesterday, ESPN's Tim McMahon had shared an anecdote about Luka looking at the bench and yelling at Rick Carlisle and saying, you know, who's running the team, you or Bob? And this was the idea that ultimately put these wheels in motion. To your question about Donnie, listen, he made it clear to Mark that he had great concerns about Bob's role. He was hoping that Mark would essentially talk to Bob and put him in that lane that he was designed to be in initially as an advisor, as opposed to taking some of the liberties he had taken. And Mark, our information is that he defended Bob's positioning and Donnie, you know, was obviously disappointed by that. And then Mark made the call he made. I can't speak to if, you know, he thinks Donnie was a leak or if that played a part. But again, that would be off base.
All right. How about the relationship with Rick Carlisle? I was told Mark and Rick had a very emotional meeting. Do you think that meeting got him fired? Do you think the Luka situation, you know, your guess on was this in the making the last 3 or 4 weeks? It had ramped up. I mean, relationships end a lot of different ways, Sam.
Sure.
Amick at The Athletic. What is your gut feeling on why this was so abrupt and ended the way it did?
I mean, that's good information on you, Colin, you know, putting that reporter hat on. I didn't know about those meetings. The thing is, I was real surprised before all this drama that Mark came out as quickly as he did and publicly endorsed Rick and said that he would be back and had that quote about how you simply don't, you know, get rid of a coach unless you know you have somebody better and there just aren't many better than Rick Carlisle. At that time, a lot of people around the league and certainly people with the Mavs were not sure whether or not they believed it because of the Luka dynamic. You know, you have from a couple different angles here, you had these elephants in the room where if Luka has tension with Rick, that's not ideal. If Luka has tension with Bob Vulgaris and by proxy Mark Cuban and questioning the way that decisions are getting made, that's not ideal. So are you just going to keep status quo and essentially send a message to Luka that, you know, we're not really all that receptive to the way you see the way things run? So I think it was uncomfortable to begin with. And then listen, if you're Rick, who I have not talked to, then on the back end, if Donnie Nelson's out, that's one of your biggest supporters. And now you're questioning how things are going to run going forward. You already felt somewhat undercut, I think, by Vulgaris's role. Was not surprised to see him head for the exits.
Is Luka difficult? He's emotional. Is he difficult?
I think he's bordering. I mean, difficult. I don't have any reason to believe that, you know, he's not going to to Mark and saying, get Rick out. He's not, but he is passionate. He's fiery. And we see it. This stuff, the fans and the media see in public every time he's on the floor. So just go ahead and, you know, watch how he functions when he gets upset with the ref, when he gets upset with Carlisle and is demonstrative and has a lot to say, and assume that behind the scenes, he shares those frustrations too. The guy has the kind of confidence that ultimately is probably going to propel him to this Hall of Fame career and you know, what's ahead. But with that comes these complications. The fact that he knows how good he is. He knows what he wants around him. He knows that he's a championship level player. And it's, you know, right now, obviously, there's questions about whether or not they can put that around him.
Let's segue to Zion. You don't cover that story quite, because I know to break a story like you did on Dallas, it is all-consuming. It's very difficult.
Yep.
I get that. The Zion dynamic, though, feels different in that the organization is not as sturdy as the Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks aren't going anywhere. It's a big city, a lot of money, great organization, won a title, been in the playoffs. The Zion stuff reeks of get me out of here before the team may not be here. You hearing anything on that?
There's a lot there. I every time we talk about possible relocation, I have this guilt wash over me in regards to the folks in New Orleans, because they're so tired of hearing it. But it is what it is, that, you know, that market, you've got to knock every move out of the park. If you need playoff money, you need to find a way to, you know, survive that uphill challenge of playing in New Orleans. And Zion was such a breath of fresh air when they got him. They make the Anthony Davis trade. They get some great assets in return. Dave Griffin is off and running in really, really strong fashion. And then it obviously has just swung the other way ever since. You know, Gail Benson, by all accounts, continues to be the type of owner who is supportive, who is invested. But, you know, these numbers on the business side, they need to start matching up. And that means that they need to win games with Zion. And, you know, the stuff that got out this week with some of my colleagues at The Athletic reporting about his family and that narrative that has been around all season long, that they were not necessarily feeling New Orleans, is real. And so now, I mean, they have control of his contract for a very long time. So it's not a case of them being at risk of losing him in that way anytime soon. But it has elements that are somewhat similar to Luka. It's the price you pay when a guy has these kinds of talents. There's going to be pressure immediately to put the right pieces around him.
By the way, I don't expect you to break stories, but are you optimistic or a little concerned about Chris Paul? You know, he has been vaccinated. So if he did get it, and there's reports out there that he would probably be more possible to be asymptomatic now that he's vaccinated. Is there anxiety in Phoenix? Because, boy, they're rolling. I mean, Sam, 7 out of 7. They're shooting well. They're totally healthy. Everybody else is crossing their fingers on health. Suns are rested, healthy, rolling, young players. Do you sense some anxiety around this organization with the Chris Paul situation?
I do. Yeah, I mean, just the other day, Monty Williams was asked about the prospect of them not having Chris in game one. And you could sense that feeling you're talking about, where he said, I don't even want to think about that until it's real. I don't have total clarity on the impact of the protocol as it relates to somebody who's been vaccinated, and that idea that, you know, if he turns in 2 negative tests within, essentially, as of today, I believe that would have been possible. Now, I don't know what the testing has revealed. And then there's heart testing that is part of it. The league all season long has not messed around when it comes to their protocol. And you talk about a fascinating case study. Now you have a guy in Chris Paul, who's the president of the Players Union, and who, in terms of his own career, as you alluded to, you know, this is a long time coming, this kind of opportunity for him. He survived that shoulder injury, got healthy again, was playing out of his mind. It's incredibly unfortunate. I mean, thankfully, it doesn't seem to be, it's not necessarily a health situation in terms of him being in any trouble because of the vaccination. But basketball-wise, it's a big, big deal. And, you know, I hope we see him out there in game one, but that doesn't seem clear yet.
All right, good stuff. Sam Amick, read his stuff, The Athletic, all over the Mavs. And we love your stuff, Sam. Thank you.
Thank you, Colin. Be good.
You bet. Hot water never runs out. Tanklessmadesimple.com. Navien tankless water heaters, 15-year limited warranty. So, like you said, the Zion stuff, the family stuff, I didn't grow up with that. So I didn't have a chirpy family. You said, Joy, you had, there was noise. You had to, there were discussions.
We chirped with each other.
Chirped.
Yeah, so, but at the end of the day, we're going to let each other do what we want to do.
Well, but you know, Zion's a big deal. There's a lot of money at stake.
There's a lot of money at stake, but it's also, it's standards. Like everyone's talking about like, oh, Zion is, you know, still has to develop and he's not a certified star yet and he has a long way to go. Like, yeah, he does. But you're going to replace Zion? And they've already had two coaches there. It's a little fair to be, there be a little anxiety about the direction of the organization. Everyone needs to be on the same level. Like, we hold these players to very high standards as media and fans for what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to perform. Organizations need to be held to the same standard.
That's right.
Especially if you don't want the players going in there telling them who to hire and who to sign, and you want the players to do what they do, okay, do what you do.
Think about this. Dallas Mavericks could have had Donovan Mitchell. Great player. They drafted Dennis Smith. Bust. You'd have Luka and Donovan Mitchell. You'd be done.
Right, and Luka can't make those decisions. And I don't think that, like I said yesterday, I don't think Luka, even though these are separate situations, they have, you know, similarities to them. I don't think Luka or Zion is saying, we want control of the organization.
Just get your stuff right.
Yeah, just get your stuff together.
Get your stuff
together. We have to have our stuff together. We have to be healthy.
That's right. We have
to get to the playoffs. We have to get out of the first round. What are you guys doing?
Very good point.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, the Rams do stuff. They're always making moves.
Boom, 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 boom. Gutsy.
Very gutsy. They signed veteran receiver DeSean Jackson this offseason, and he is excited about how this offense is going to be.
With a quarterback like, you know, Matthew Stafford, man, it's really mind-boggling for other defenses or defensive coordinators to really be sitting back like, man, how are we going to stop these dudes, man? And, you know, for me, I done been on some pretty good receiving corps, you know, but, Robert and Coop, you know, with the additions to Van and Tutu, like, man, it's going to be scary, man.
It is. They do
have some weapons.
Now, the question with them is the Rams. I just had lunch yesterday with a very good source.
Okay.
We had spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
And crab. It was very bougie. So, and the Rams were a big topic. And he said, listen, they are top heavy. If they stay healthy, that team could end up in the Super Bowl. But they got like Andrew Whitworth. You got about a year left. Like the Rams next year have got to do what the Dallas Cowboys have to do next year. Just draft O-line because the defense is good. The quarterback's right. Cam Akers is a star. This team is stacked. And that offensive line is good. Good. But man, it is perilously thin on that offensive front.
Well, they have Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, DeSean Jackson, Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell that they drafted in the second round,
yep.
Cam Akers, Darrell Henderson Jr., and Tyler Higbee at tight end. They definitely have the weapons. I can't wait to watch Matthew Stafford with the Rams. Similarly, I know all of Detroit thinks I hate them, but I don't. I want to see what Jared Goff does. Like, this is an incredible experiment because we thought Jared Goff was a bust.
Yeah.
He got with McVay, not a bust. Now he's with an organization that has traditionally struggled.
Listen, I'm not even going to
people love Matthew Stafford. He is in the perfect situation right now.
Yeah, Matt needs to come out and win games.
Yeah.
We've been hearing about how great he is, and he is. You got to win 12. Because Goff's getting you to 10.
Goff went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Goff's going to win a lot of games here. We didn't move all these number one picks for you to win 10. I got to see 12.
I can't wait to watch. So Dwayne Haskins is getting a second chance in the NFL with the Steelers. He won't be the starter. Ben will be, obviously. But he hopes to show that he is the right guy to take over for Ben one day.
Just coming here to Pittsburgh, I just wanted to prove to the coaching staff and my teammates how much I love football. And this is a grateful opportunity to be here and showing that my mind's in the right place. My expectations here is to, you know, make everyone who decided to take a chance on me look good and just work as hard as I possibly can. And you know, let my work speak for itself. And of course, I want to be able to take after Big Ben and stuff like that. But that comes within due time.
He obviously struggled in Washington.
Big kid, accurate. I mean, there's stuff there.
There's something there. I think he landed in a great place.
So do I.
I don't know if he's the heir to Big Ben, but He's a very young guy. Obviously, there were some decision-making issues in Washington.
Throws a when he has time and set, he throws a nice ball.
He kind of looks like Big Ben. Like, he has similarities to his style.
No, listen, I thought when he came out, I'm like, yeah, I get the number one pick. We asked Urban Meyer on this show, is he ready to play? And Urban said, no, he's not ready to play. But there's a lot of – when you look at his body, that's an NFL body. He's got an NFL arm. He throws an accurate football. When my one knock out of college was, he's one of those guys, when he moves, his accuracy dips. Like, some guys can throw on – like, Justin Herbert can throw on the run. Mahomes, he can't. Like, Dwayne needs a good O-line, which worries me because they lost Trent Williams' left tackle. Now they're losing their right tackle to the Jets. That worries – Pittsburgh now.
Yeah, in Pittsburgh. He's not going to be the starter.
But Pittsburgh's O-line was very lowly graded last year, and they went and got a running back. But the O-line for Pittsburgh...
The O-line is a question right now, which is not great because Big Ben is getting older, obviously, and did not look great at the end of the season. Right. But they do have offensive weapons. Look, the Steelers are going to be consistent no matter what because they're the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I do think that figuring out what the next step is after Ben is important. You don't want to be in that limbo space with no quarterback. Dwayne Haskins is a really young guy. Yeah. This could be the right situation for him.
Yeah.
So the Suns knocked the Nuggets out of the playoffs in the second round with a 4-game sweep.
Yep.
DeAndre Ayton had a good series, 14.3 points and 10.5 rebounds. Plus, he was matched up with the MVP in Nikola Jokic. And Jokic sent Ayton an autographed jersey along with a note to my brother DA, you are a beast, keep up the good work. And signed it and sent it to him, and DeAndre posted it. I really love this. I find Jokic to be so likable. He's such a hooper. I know the series did not end ideally.
Right, right.
But he's just a basketball guy. That's and I love it. And I know that a lot of the old school guys, they don't like how everybody's like friends. Even though they're like all friends, they just talk trash to each other a little more publicly, but they all like each other. I think this is time to just upgrade the idea of how we look at all this. These guys all are friends. Not everyone's friends, but it's okay to like each other. You can go and compete and then be cool off the court. It's not taking away anything from the sport.
In Michael's era, in Isaiah Thomas and Magic's era, the pie was much smaller. You were fighting for a piece of the pie. Mid-level guys now make $11 million a
year. Everyone's making money.
Everybody, the pie
Everyone's
is
making money outside of the sport. They all grew up playing each other. They all have relationships. It's fine. I get it. It hurts some rivalries, I guess. In that sense, it does take a little juice out of, it lessens the villains. But we'll always find a way to create those narratives. I just think it's nice. I like it.
And by the way, I do know Dwayne Haskins plays with the Steelers, not Washington.
Yeah.
In my mind, I got that. Listen, I had about twice when Brady left last year. Brady is so embedded to New England.
Guys, we talked for 3 hours. It's fine. We all know you. We knew what you meant.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Jason McIntyre, one of my favorite segments. Next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason McIntyre, let's bring him in live. We do, we call it tomorrow's headlines today. All right, Mac, we got two sets of things we want to attack. Let's not waste any time.
Yeah.
Let's start with the NBA conference semifinals. What could happen? Tomorrow's headlines today. What's going to be the headline? Nets Bucks game 7.
Well, I heard you're having a party Saturday night to celebrate game 7. The headline will be Kevin Durant lead Nets past Bucks. Colin, I like your Milwaukee Bucks. Listen, we all watched Durant in game 5. He was amazing. Otherworldly, right? 49, 17, and 10. But Colin, did you see what happened in game 6? He kind of was gassed. I mean, this guy had 3 assists. He only took 2 free throw attempts, basically refused to attack the basket. And I just wonder, everything broke for them in game 5. Is Jeff Green going to make 7 three-pointers again, Colin? Is that happening? I don't see it happening. I love Durant a lot. Everybody says he's the best player in the NBA. Colin, he looked tired. Unless James Harden can, you know, not be a traffic cone defensively like he was in game six. I don't see it happening. By the way, the gambling line, because I know you watch them, the Bucks opened up as 1.5-point favorites, but it's been bet now the Nets are 1-point favorites because all the public is coming in on Brooklyn. I think the Bucks are the side here.
You sound like a sharp. Tomorrow's headlines today. 76ers Hawks game 6. I'm going to bet a fortune on the 76ers. Am I nuts?
Ooh, you're not nuts, but the headline will be Hawks prey on processed meat. Yes, I'm going with the Hawks only because Colin, you know, I think the first thing you told me when I got to FS1 5 years ago, we love chaos. That's what is great for our business. And Colin, a Hawks win in game 6 probably puts Doc Rivers on the unemployment line, or at least he's being looked at. And you know Ben Simmons is a goner. We'll get to him in a moment.
Yeah.
But I cannot get over what happened in game 5. By the way, Joel Embiid was magnificent for a half. In the second half, that knee, I don't know if it flared up, but he was only 3 for 9.
Yep.
Where was he in the fourth quarter? Missed 2 free throws late. And Tobias Harris, who is paid $35 million, highest paid Sixer. He was on a milk carton in the second half. Didn't make a basket. Ultimately, Colin, this probably comes down to a guy you and I both love, Ben Simmons. I will admit, I have been bullish on Ben Simmons. I've come on your show multiple times. I would build around Simmons. I'm close to taking a rare L on this one. Colin, Ben Simmons has not delivered. He has not attempted a field goal in the fourth quarter of the last 2 games. Like, dude, what's going on? So I'm taking the Hawks tonight.
All right, let's talk about Ben Simmons. Let's shift to Ben Simmons will be moved. There's a lot of rumors out. They've already tried to move him. So tomorrow's headlines today, what would be the headline? Ben Simmons to the Wizards.
Yeah, Ben Simmons fake trades are fun, and here's why. The first one up, the headline will be 76ers Wheel and Beal to get rid of Ben Simmons. Bradley Beal in Washington, he has refused to commit to the Wizards. I kind of put this out there a couple weeks ago. They just fired their coach, Scott Brooks, in hopes of keeping Bradley Beal. The reality, Colin, Bradley Beal probably is going to say he wants out here in the next month or two. And Bradley Beal to Philly gets the shooting around Joel Embiid. Seth Curry, Bradley Beal, I think that would be great. Now, if you're Washington, Westbrook and Simmons doesn't quite jive, but I do believe ultimately you get rid of Russell Westbrook, who was very good, and you build around Ben Simmons.
Yeah. No, that's probably about as good as you're going to get. If you can get Ben Simmons for Beal, that may be the best you can get. Okay, tomorrow's headlines today. What about Ben Simmons to the Blazers? That's fascinating.
Yes. You're a Pacific Northwest guy. Portland, they need to do something. The headline will be no more Dame time to waste. Colin, Damian Lillard turns 31 in July. Okay, last 5 years, they've been knocked out of the first round 4 times. At some point, you got to quit banging your head against a wall and say, we got to break up this CJ McCollum, Damian thing. I believe if you go to the Sixers and say, hey, we'll give you the shooting in McCollum and Robert Covington, who you guys had a few years ago, whoever you want, please give us Ben Simmons. And Colin, you know the biggest returns in life can often happen when you have a contrarian mindset and you go against the grind. I do believe Ben Simmons can be a small ball 5. Yes, a point guard center in this league. And Colin, what's the harm if you try that? You've already tried everything with Dame. You can't get to the finals. You put Ben Simmons at the 5, take the ball out of Dame's hands a little bit, take the pressure off him. I think it's worth a shot in the loaded West. And by the way, the Sixers will be very good with Seth Curry and CJ McCollum.
Tomorrow's headlines today, Ben Simmons to the Warriors, there's a lot of talk they want to make deals.
Yes, well, they're smart, forward-thinking, tech-savvy company. The headline will be Simmons takes a step in the right direction. Ben Simmons, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. Colin, this would be a dream, okay? You talk about Draymond Green being like an awesome player defensively, high IQ. Pair him with Ben Simmons, Colin. I mean, that to me is an ultimately fascinating situation. You get two great defenders. This would kind of be like a Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman defensively, and then you get the Splash Brothers back in the backcourt. Now, how does Philly, where do they benefit here? The Warriors have the Minnesota Timberwolves lottery pick this year. That could be as high as number 4. If you can get the 4th pick, you know, maybe you add Andrew Wiggins, who's not that appealing, but he's a good wing. Andrew Wiggins is like the 3rd guy. He's pretty darn good. And if you're Golden State, you move on from James Wiseman, right? Yeah. You find a third team. Because he didn't really click with Draymond and Steph.
He didn't.
I think, Colin, you know this. You be creative. You think outside the box. Don't do what everyone else is doing. There are options for Ben Simmons to still thrive in this league. It's just not working next to Joel Embiid.
No, I think it's a good point. We talked about this yesterday. He's too expensive to bail. He's too talented to bail. He can't play on a team with a stud center like Embiid. Yeah. Embiid's one of the two or three guys he can't play with. You can't clog the lane with Simmons. He's got to be able to finish at the rim. By the way, LeBron, by the way, before he fell in love with his jump shot, LeBron didn't like bigs. He wanted Kevin Love and Bosch to clear out. It's understandable. Jason McIntyre, good seeing you again, bud.
All right, pal. Take it easy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it is not everybody fits everywhere. Like, DeMar Jackson wins 80% of his games. But Greg Roman is the perfect coordinator for him. They ask Lamar and let him grow slowly based on what he does real well. If he were to run into Andy Reid's offense day one, maybe it doesn't work as quickly. So Ben Simmons is a 6'10.5 point, great vision, great ball handler, unbelievable first-team All-NBA defense. He's never going to be a great shooter. To me, just hit the free throws. You're 68% at the line. You got to hit free throw. And his free throw percentage, I'll say it again, Coach Colin, Ben, it ain't that bad. Bend the knees a little. Just a little. He doesn't bend his knees enough. I want a trophy in the eighth grade free throw shooting. I know of what I speak. All right, Joy's on an airplane. Of course she is. It's Friday. We'll see you Monday. It's The Herd.